The foundation is laid. Joys or tears, present or past, a place of worship. Memory for the old people, good old days that cannot match the present. The absence of glory and splendour, no riches or beauty left. The tipping point between old and new. The past is better than the present, but the joy of the present still drowns out the tears of the past. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all here in such a dreich horrible day, it has to be said. But you're all here and it's warm and cosy in the church, so we'll be just fine for the next wee while. The order of service has a number of intimations, but I've also been given a few to highlight and to maybe just mention. This last wee while, as we've been thinking about Christian Aid, and during Christian Aid Week, the door-to-door collection came to over £3,000, which is a fantastic amount of money, and well done to everyone who contributed in any way to that, either through being part of the door-to-door collection or popping some money in an envelope. It's very much appreciated. And then yesterday morning, a very successful coffee morning in aid of Christian Aid raised over £650. So that's a great total over the last few weeks, and money that will be hired over the last couple of Sundays, the way that money will be spent in Sierra Leone among young mums, and it'll be life-transforming, truly life-transforming, so thank you for that. Next Sunday afternoon, we have a concert here in the church at 2:30. The Orpheus Choir will be here to entertain, and it was just a wee hint and a suggestion that you might enjoy that next Sunday afternoon, so a very warm welcome to you to coming along to that. We have a toddlers group that meets through in the hall here on a Thursday morning, and they have a coffee morning next Saturday along in the Kirk Centre, and the time for that is 9:30 to 11:30, so it's a slightly different time to a normal coffee morning, so I just wanted to highlight the earlier start. So some of you might think, well, that's fine, I could come down for my breakfast instead of making my mid-morning coffee. So a slightly earlier start next Saturday morning, for that coffee morning. To those who may not have noticed, and the elders in your trays, you should find the magazine ready for distribution. Just a message from Graham to remind you about that. And also a reminder that the board and session meet this Thursday evening at 7:30 here in the sanctuary. And I think I'm going to leave you to read everything else that's there. No, I'm not. I'm going to give Abby and Clay's Family Fun Day a punt. Abby and Clay have been working along with the Outreach Core Group on putting together a Family Fun Day on Saturday the 15th of June. It's going to run from 10 o'clock in the morning through till 3 in the afternoon, and they're looking for some help. They're looking for folk to either volunteer to come and supervise some of the activities, or if you would be able to donate something suitable for a tombola stall, they would be really grateful to hear from you. And their contact details are there, or you can maybe catch them at the end of the service. They're both through helping with jam this morning. Anyway, I'll then leave you to read everything else that is there. Our call to worship. As old and treasured traditions collide with the need for change and vision, the foundations have been laid for the new temple of the spirit of the body. Seeking vision and life, we journey forward. Turning to God, we look to the future, made complete in the ways of Christ. Stand together and sing our hymn 200 in our hymn books, Christ is made the sure foundation.
Thank you.
Please join me as we turn to God in prayer. Lord God, you made us and you know us to the depths of our being. You rejoice with us when we are happy. You weep with us when we are sad. And when we are all mixed up, not knowing whether to laugh or cry, you are there, right in the midst of the laughter and the shouting and the snot. You understand, as we cannot yet, what it all means. You feel the impatience of the young ones, wanting new things to happen now. You see the fear of loss behind the wild flurries of activity, the sadness of loss behind the stubborn resistance to change. Why then are we so reluctant to come to you as we are, to sing boldly, to question fiercely, to weep messily? Loving God who made us and knows us, you know that our resistance is part of us too, and the not wanting to cause embarrassment, the hiding of how we really feel, even from ourselves sometimes. Can you change some of that without changing the essence of who we are? Can you help us to trust just a little bit more, to open up even just the topmost layer, to be just a tiny bit freer in our worship and in our sharing with one another? Can you open us to new ways of being church? Lord God, forgive us for the times we have limited the scope of your love, hanging on to our ways and our prejudices. Can you open hearts to welcome those who for far too long have felt excluded from your church? If you can, God, please do. And may we know the double blessing of worship that is more real and fellowship that is deeper than ever we thought it could be. And if there are blessings left to share, may there be others who find that here in your house they can be themselves and find a welcome in Jesus' name. Jesus, who taught us to pray together these words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We sing again, and this time our hymn is 623. Here in this place, new light is streaming. Hymn 623.
Thank you. first reading today is Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. Worship begins again. By the seventh month, the people of Israel were all settled in their towns. Then they all assembled in Jerusalem, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, and his fellow priest Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, together with his relatives, built the altar of the God of Israel, so that they could burn sacrifices on it according to the instructions written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Even though the returning exiles were afraid of the people who were living in the land, they rebuilt the altar where it had stood before. Then they began once again to burn on it the regular morning and evening sacrifices. They celebrated the festival of shelters according to the regulations. Each day they offered the sacrifices required for that day, and in addition they offered the regular sacrifices to be burnt whole, and those who offered at the new moon festival and all the other regular assemblies at which the Lord is worshipped, as well as all the offerings that were given to the Lord voluntarily. Although the people had not yet started to rebuild the temple, they began on the first day of the seventh month to burn sacrifices to the Lord. The rebuilding of the temple begins. The people gave money to pay the stonemasons and the carpenters, and gave food, drink, and olive oil to be sent to the cities of Tyre and Sidon in exchange for cedar trees from Lebanon, which were brought to sea by Joppa. All of this was done with permission of Cyrus, emperor of Persia. So, in the second month of the year, after they came back to the site of the temple in Jerusalem, they began work. Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the rest of their fellow countrymen, the priests and the Levites, in fact, all the exiles who had come back to Jerusalem, joined in the work. All the Levites, 20 years of age or older, were put in charge of the work of rebuilding the temple. The Levite Jeshua and his relatives, and Kadmiel and his sons, the clan of Hodaviah, joined together in taking charge of the rebuilding of the temple. They were helped by the Levites of the clan Henadad. When the builders started to lay the foundation of the temple, the priests in their robes took their places with trumpets in their hands, and the Levites of the clan Asaph stood there with cymbals. They praised the Lord according to the instructions handed down from the time of King David. They sang the Lord's praises, repeating the refrain, "The Lord is good, and his love for Israel is eternal." Everyone shouted with all his might, praising the Lord, because the work on the foundation of the temple had been started. Many of the older priests, Levites, and heads of clans had seen the first temple, and as they watched the foundation of this temple being laid, they cried and wailed. But the others who were there shouted for joy. No one could distinguish between the joyful shouts and the crying, because the noise they made was so loud that it could be heard far and wide. Our second reading is Psalm 136, verses 1 to 16, and then verse 26. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love is eternal. Give thanks to the greatest of all gods. His love is eternal. Give thanks to the mightiest of all lords. His love is eternal. He alone performs great miracles. His love is eternal. By his wisdom he made the heavens. His love is eternal. He built the earth on the deep waters. His love is eternal. He made the sun and the moon. His love is eternal. The sun to rule over the day. His love is eternal. The moon and stars to rule over the night. His love is eternal. He killed the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. His love is eternal. He led the people of Israel out of Egypt. His love is eternal. With his strong hand, his powerful arm, his love is eternal. He divided the Red Sea. His love is eternal. He led his people through it. His love is eternal. But he drowned the king of Egypt and his army. His love is eternal. He led the people through the desert. His love is eternal. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love is eternal. Give thanks to the Lord for these words.
Thank you, Fiona, for those readings. We now sing Psalm 136 as it's found at number 93 in our hymn books. Let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind. For his mercies I endure, ever faithful, ever sure. On the outskirts of any city in Scotland, in what was once a village before it became a busy suburb, the parish church was looking a bit sad and neglected. The railings were rusted, the grass overgrown, the windows had wire mesh to protect from vandals, the roof was missing a few slates, and the copper and lead holding it together had long since been harvested by thieves hoping to make a profit in the scrap metal market. The front doorway was littered with cigarette butts deposited by those attending the slimming classes or the AA group, or simply sheltering out of the rain. Most folk passed the building on the way to the shops across the road with barely a glance. On Sunday mornings, a trickle of folk still came to worship, sitting in their hard, uncomfortable family pews, using musty dog-eared hymn books. Most of them could still picture the church filled, teeming with life and warmth. They could remember who sat where and name every minister since the early 1900s. The organ had given up the ghost some years ago, and a machine provided taped music playing at a sedate pace. They dreamed of a time when things could go back to the way they were. There had been an offer of joining with a congregation half a mile away, a congregation that was also struggling, but that had a minister and a better maintained building. But that would mean giving up the chancel in which they'd stood to profess their faith or in which they had waited to be married. Those were the days when the front porch had been littered with rice and confetti rather than cigarette butts. It would involve leaving behind the font around which their family gathered as children were baptised, and around which they still hoped they would gather for their grandchildren's baptisms, though that was looking unlikely since their sons and daughters no longer had time for the church. It would mean leaving behind the communion table on which the family matriarch had placed meticulously laundered communion cloths year in, year out. Even the gathering vestibule held special significance, displaying as it did the boys' brigade roll of honour and the war memorial that featured family names. All these memories were a part of their worship as they gathered with saints of the past and the present, part of that great cloud of witnesses. How could they worship in a strange land? No thanks. They would rather see this to the end and let others worry about what comes next. They know that their children and grandchildren will not be burdened by such sentiment, by such memories. What a week it has been for the Church of Scotland. And what an exciting time to be part of the Church of Scotland. That's the way in which I see the results of this week's General Assembly. The Church is about to enter a time of huge change, and it's going to be an interesting few months and years ahead. It was an exciting time for the Israelites in our reading from the Bible this morning, a reading from the little read and little known book of Ezra. For the first group of exiles returning from Babylonia, the time had come at last to start rebuilding the temple destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar's army some 50 years previously. There was a sense of joy and excitement and optimism about the future. In many ways, this is where the Church of Scotland finds itself. Well, at least it does, if it isn't like the church I just described. Following last year's dismissal of a plan for the future brought by the Council of Assembly because it wasn't radical enough, the Church this week voted to adopt a truly radical plan for the future. A plan that will have a huge impact at a national level, at a presbytery level, and at a congregational level. And they voted with enthusiasm and with an optimism that verged on excitement. And it's really important that we here understand this. Things at a national, presbytery, and congregational level will change. Some highlights from the General Assembly and the changes include the Go For It Fund. It's to be replaced by a bigger fund that can be applied for by local churches, groups of churches, and presbyteries for work targeted at church planting, children, young people, and families. Up to £25 million over 7 years is to be made available, some of which is coming from the Church of Scotland's reserves at a national level. There's a target to cut between 20 and 30% of the central costs of the church. A merging of some of the councils of the church, Mission and Discipleship and Ministries Council, will come together, as will the Church's Society and World Mission Councils. And there's also an aim to reduce the number of presbyteries from 45 to around just 12. The main thrust of the reforms is to return more control to the local level to allow for new ways of being the Church of Scotland to take shape. Church legislation will be forthcoming to help form hubs and partnerships of the church suited to the locale, a recognition that one shape of church doesn't fit all situations. And there will be a concerted effort across the church to engage with those under the age of 40. There were many more parts to the plan. These are just a few of the highlights. If you're interested in reading more, or you can find a copy of the report of the Council of Assembly on the Church of Scotland website. But if you've ever tried to navigate the Church of Scotland website, that sounds easier than it really is. So if you would like some help in finding that report, please speak to me and I'll let you know the exact link that you need. But the plan is radical and it's exciting and it gives me optimism, something that has been sadly lacking in the Church of Scotland for a long time. And I don't mean necessarily locally, because I think we here have still much to be satisfied with. To many, we are a church to admire or even envy. We still have good numbers of people attending church weekly, and we have facilities that some might describe as second to none. But even we cannot rest on our laurels. We face many of the same challenges that other churches face. An aging congregation, less people able to do the jobs that need to be done, missing generations. We don't have many children or young people, that's true, but we don't have their parents either. There is a lot of work to do in simply standing still, let alone growing. Dr. Sally Bonner, convener of the Council of Assembly, made this point. She said she hoped commissioners would return to their parishes with a sense of excitement for the future. The church has made some far-reaching decisions. Not all those actions will be put into place straight away, obviously, and a lot of work is needed to flesh out what was decided. But she goes on, the General Assembly this year has really got the bit between its teeth in terms of moving the church forward and modernising. I hope they have a clear message to take back that we are a church that is not content to manage decline. The decisions made over the last few days tell us that this is a church that is listening, facing up to realities, and is ready to change. We are a church that wants to grow the kingdom of God and take the message of the gospel out to the people of Scotland in a more effective way. Now, you may or may not be aware that the Presbytery of Aberdeen is also conducting a review, with a new presbytery plan being worked on. An extensive review of church buildings is currently underway, looking at what buildings will be necessary for the future of the church across the city. But they're not just looking at the condition of the church buildings, but looking at where churches are in relationship to their communities, and whether new buildings might be necessary in some places. The committee responsible for the plan are due to bring forward its ideas to Presbytery in the late autumn. And we need to be prepared for it to be a radical new plan. I suspect it will involve working even more closely with our neighbouring churches, sharing resources and sharing people in more targeted ways. And here, in our own congregation, we have our own group looking at putting together a development plan for cults. And we met this week to continue this work. We too hope to bring a plan for all to see and agree on later on this year. But there's no point in us rushing this as until the national plan starts to take shape and the presbytery plan becomes clearer. We won't know everything that we need to know how it will affect us here and how we will need to respond. We here in Cults and the Church of Scotland across Scotland and beyond must simply accept that we are managing decline. Quite the contrary. These various plans are about rebuilding. We are in the kingdom building business. The church is not yet ready for palliative care. The Israelites rebuilt their kingdom. The Church of Scotland is rebuilding itself. And we will play our part in this. We are about building the kingdom of God. That is our calling and our commission from Christ. The theme of this year's General Assembly was "Follow Me," the words spoken by Jesus as he started his ministry and was building his team. And following Jesus in a world that seems to be turning away from God and becoming more and more secular is a real challenge. But there are glimmers of hope. In the last month, I've conducted 5 baptisms, 5 weddings, and as many funerals. People still look to the church and to God at important times in their lives. We still have a role to play. Yesterday, I took part in the Grampian Pride March down at Union Street as part of a small group of Church of Scotland ministers. Several people stopped us to say thank you, just for being there. We turned more than a few heads, surprised a lot of people by simply being there. We were a witness to Christ, spreading the message that God loves all, everyone. A community that too often feels that the Christian community wants nothing to do with them and only has words of condemnation for them, saw and heard a different message yesterday, just by us being there with them. You see, following Jesus doesn't need to be complicated. Our presence in our community is a powerful witness. By remaining a vibrant, welcoming community of faith and of love, we are witnesses to Jesus in the most powerful of ways. So rather than be despondent about a shortage of ministers, a declining membership, a lack of families involved in our churches, I want us to be excited about the future, open to new ways of thinking about church and doing church, and excited about the opportunities that lie ahead. The second of our readings this morning were verses from Psalm 136, a reminder that in the midst of everything, God's love is eternal. Or as Eugene Peterson puts it, God never quits. God has not given up on his people. Thank God he deserves our thanks. His love never quits. Thank God, the God of all gods, his love never quits. Thank the Lord of all lords, his love never quits. Thank the miracle-working God, his love never quits. The God whose skill formed the cosmos, his love never quits. The God who laid out earth on ocean foundations, his love never quits. The God who filled the skies with light, his love never quits. The sun to watch over the day, his love never quits. Moon and stars as guardians at night, his love never quits. God remembered us when we were down, his love never quits. Rescued us from the trampling boot, his love never quits. Takes care of everyone in time of need, his love never quits. Thank God who did it all, his love never quits. So kingdom people, there is work to be done. The Church of Scotland has its radical plan. The Presbytery of Aberdeen is working on its plan, and we have a team looking at our development plan. All three levels looking at what it means to be church today and into the future. Everyone looking at what it means to be followers of Christ in this age. Rebuilding the church nationally, rebuilding the church locally, so we can all play our part in rebuilding the kingdom of God. Amen. We continue to worship God, this time in our offering. Let us pray. God of extravagant grace, those who love give freely to the beloved. Those who are fully committed to a cause will give everything to see it succeed. Rekindle our love and our commitment, we pray, and then the giving will look after itself. In the meantime, accept whatever it is that we've been able to bring and use it to rebuild your church, the living body of Jesus in our world today. Amen. And with that, I'm hoping that I hear some clumpy feet coming through. I think so. Are they coming? Yay. For the last few weeks, because we've had communion and then baptisms, we decided that it was best for the kids just to go straight to jam and then come in at the end of the service for the baptisms and communion. But actually, we've kind of talked about that and decided to keep that going. So the children from now on will be going through to jam first and then coming through to join us at the end of the service instead of us sending them away. So I hope that that helps them feel a bit more welcome in our church. So what have you been up to today? What have you been learning about today? What have you been?
We've been learning about rainbows.
Uh-huh.
Noah's Ark.
Noah's Ark. Yeah. So you've been learning all about Noah who built the Ark.
Yeah.
Did anybody see in the news that the guy, the people that built the life-size, the proper scale-size Noah's Ark, mm-hmm. have sued they sued because of water damage. Something completely beside. Anyway, that's beside. So you've been learning about Noah's Ark. So Noah built an ark. And why did Noah build the ark? Why did Noah build the ark?
There's going to be a flood.
Because there was going to be a flood, right? Okay, and was there a flood, Freya? Mm-hmm. And so what did Noah put on the ark? What went on to the ark? Did he take his family with him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did he take lots of animals too?
Two of each animal.
Okay. Right, okay. And, right, so Noah built an ark and he took two of everything and he took his family. Mm-hmm. And that was to make sure, really, that kind of everything continued on. All right, we'll get to the rainbow, don't worry. Right, so we've been thinking about building as well, haven't we? We've been thinking about building a church today too. We've been thinking about building church and building a community of church. And you helped me build my wall earlier, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you did a really good job of it. A really good job of my little wall. Just a little pity that I'm just about to do this to it. I've just destroyed the wall. You took ages to build it. Well, how about you help rebuild it then?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Come on and we'll help rebuild the wall. Right, now, remember, on the wall there were some words as well, wasn't there? Yeah, so you rebuild the wall and see if you can build into the wall a message using the words that are there. Now, it did take them a wee while before, so we could just be a little while. Right, you two, you're going to let the others join in? Right, so what words have we got? We've got God is, and what other words have you got?
God. What?
God, right, so God is, and Freya, you're holding God is here. Oh, that's an interesting word. And what other words have we got? We've got hope. We've got joy.
We've got
love. Have we got peace?
And we have a rainbow.
And we've got rainbows. We'll get to the rainbows in a minute. We'll hear all about the rainbows in a minute. Right, so let's see if we can build this wall. Oh, and there's forgiveness. Forgiveness. Right, we're going to start. Okay, right.
I'll put the rainbow here.
Okay, you want a rainbow there. Right. I think, who's got God?
Where?
Who's got God? You've got God. Okay. We need the God is. So we'll keep God and is to go to the top of the wall, I think. Right, okay. Right, no, you just leave it. We need to build the wall first. Build the wall. It doesn't really matter where all the others go now. You see, as long as we keep God is at the top. Yeah. So let's build the wall. Right. Okay. Oh, there's joy. Right, okay. That's, I've got a rainbow there. Oh, you've got that upside down. Right.
chocolate.
Okay, it's Freya. You want to put your one on there? You want to put your one on there? That's a girl.
Oh, I've got
one. There, that's a girl. And did you want, here's one for you. You can pop that
Yay.
One.
Yay!
Is there a big space there? Is I think this wall's looking a bit shuggly. I think we'll need to do some remedial work.
Yay, knock it down!
Oh, no, well, let's...
You don't want to knock down, maybe.
Wait. We need to... Oh. Have we got any masons in the house?
Knock it down.
No, Daisy, we don't
There we
have
go.
To.
Right.
We want to knock it down.
Okay.
I do want to
put it there. Right, now, we need the goddess.
Goddess.
Look, yeah. You're all right. Here we go, right, last one. Okay, so, we've got our wall, and we've now got all our words, and we've got all our rainbows, and we've got some spaces. So God is love, would you think that's true?
Yeah.
Could we say God is peace? Do you
yeah.
think that's true?
Yeah.
Can we say God is here?
Yeah.
God is joy?
Yeah.
God is forgiveness?
Yeah.
And God is hope?
Yeah.
And we've got lots of rainbows now. Who knows something about the rainbows?
Yeah.
Do you know something about the rainbows? What's about the rainbows? You remember? No? Okay, tell us.
It's forgiveness.
It's forgiveness about the flood. And God loves us as well.
Right, so it's a sign. It was a sign that came in the story of Noah, wasn't it? And it was a sign that God had forgiven and that God loved us. And all was going to be okay.
Yeah.
And it was there's a fancy word we sometimes use in church to describe that. It was like a covenant, an agreement between God that he loved us. And I think that's a lovely symbol. And somebody else earlier on, actually, I have to say, when we were building this earlier on, somebody also said that if you turn the rainbow upside down, you get
a smiley face.
A smile.
That
and I thought that was lovely. No, you're right, it was you who said that. So we turn a rainbow upside down,
and I said
we get a smile.
But now it's a
not smiley face. I know, but the rainbow, it looks like a rainbow now, but we've got a smiley face as well. Anyway, so you've been thinking about building an ark, which was Noah did in order to help save the people. And at the end of that, you heard all about God's love and his forgiveness. And we've been thinking this morning about building and rebuilding the church, because we heard a different story from the Old Testament about the rebuilding of a temple, which is a bit like rebuilding a church. And that's what we've been thinking about this morning, is how we can build up the church. And we can do all of that by thinking about who God is. So God is love, God is peace, God is joy, God is hope, God is forgiveness, and God is here. And those are all things that we can be love, we can be peaceful, we can be here, we can be full of joy, we can be full of forgiveness to other people when they might do things to upset us, and we can have hope. So we're going to sing a song that we've sung many times before, which is called Build Up, and it's a song about how we can build each other up, and how we can maybe together, if we pay attention to all of these things, be just like God is in all these different words. All right. And do you remember the actions for build up? We're just going to build up and then tear down. Right, okay, we're going to sing build up. And Emily's...
If you sing it backwards, it's dog. Yeah.
Yes, right. Do you want to go and have a wee seat down and you can show us all the actions as we're singing our song build up? Right. Are we ready? We're all going to stand up and be ready, and we'll all join in the actions if you can do that. Tear down. let's turn again to God in prayer. God of past, present and future, you are with us in our beginnings and endings, and you watch over us in the times of waiting in between, which can seem very long indeed, because we do not know how long they will be or even what it is we are waiting for. Are we in the Western churches waiting for revival or for a good and gentle death? Should we be rebuilding our walls or tearing them down? Should we be doing anything at all, or watching and waiting for you to tell us that the time is right? Loving God, grant us wisdom to go with your timing and not our own. May we not be overexcited in the times of growth or duly fearful in the times of decline. And at the same time, may we live and experience each moment to the full, including the long, slow times of waiting. We pray for church members whose much-loved buildings have had to close or can see the writing on their ancient walls. Those who walk every day past luxury apartments, restaurants or craft centres that used to be the place where they came to meet with you. May they know that you are with them still and always will be, and may they also be given space and time for grieving what has been lost. We give thanks with those who are celebrating an exciting new beginning in their own or their family's life. We grieve with those who mourn the ending of something precious to them. And we pray for those who are waiting for news for better times, for justice or freedom, for medical treatment, for a home to call their own, for a birth or even for a death. May they not be alone in their waiting. And may we who claim to know that you are with us set an example by our patience and acceptance as we wait for you to show us what happens next. And when the time for celebration comes again, may it be glorious and joyful, and may all be invited to the feast. Amen. We close our service this morning by singing hymn 680. You are called to tell the story. Hymn 680. Living stones in this world, May we build on the foundations laid by God. We are the building blocks. May we build block by block and build relationships in the world. We are community. May we share God's love day by day until all are welcomed. Go now in the peace and love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, walking with you always.